Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Hey, good evening, everyone. This is another edition of Praise Tabernacle, a church Bible study, and we're live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say thank you for joining us for another great Bible study that we have for you. First and foremost, we all want to give honor to God, who's the head of our life, and for thanking him for waking us up, putting us in our right frame of mind. Again, we want to say thank you for joining us. Those that are members of Praise Tabernacle Church, welcome. And those who may be listening, who tune in every Tuesday night for our Bible study, we just want to say thank you for listening, and hopefully that you can get something out of the Word of God tonight. Again, I am Elder Derek Oliver, and on behalf of our Bishop, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, First Lady Pamela Zachary, we just want to say, again, thank you for joining us for another edition of Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. First and foremost, our normal host, Elder Taylor, would not be with us. Let's keep him up in prayer. just keep him up in prayer and in his abstinence. And we're going to pray for complete healing for him. So just keep him and his family in your prayers. And as we get ready to get into our Bible study, we have a great teacher. One of our teachers, Minister Tolbert, will be leading the class tonight. Before Minister Tolbert go on, I'm going to open us up with prayer. And then after I pray, we're going to be in the hands of Minister Tolbert. Also on our panel tonight, we have Elder Blewett will be on, and myself. And if anyone else joins us that normally be on the panel, they'll be on with us as well. But we just want to say thank everyone again for listening to us. So with that being said, we're just going to ask that you bow your heads as we open up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you again, Father God, for A, waking us up this morning, Father God, putting us in the right frame of our mind, Father God. Father God, we just want to ask if there's anything that's in us that may not be like you, Father God, we ask for your forgiveness for all things that we know we're doing that's not right, and for all things that we may not know. Father God, we ask that you just touch the speaker tonight, Father God, give him the wisdom and the knowledge to rightly divide your word, Father God, and give the listeners the ear to hear your word, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm going to turn it over to the Minister Tolbert.
Thank you, Elder Oliver. Thank you for everyone that's listening on today. I'm coming from Romans chapter 7, and it's a lot to unpack here, but we're going to try to unpack as much as we can. Again, scripture Romans chapter 7, and our topic verse is going to come from verse 14 and 15, and it reads, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So the Lord gave me for a topic, the flesh is a mess, but God's grace is the best. So we all have a lot in common, and one thing in particular is the flesh. We were born in it, we were born with it naturally. We also have the spirit. The spirit connects with God, and God's grace keeps us daily. Today we'll take a look at the flesh, the spirit, and God's grace as well. Again, the flesh is a mess, but God's grace is the best. Verse 1. And it reads, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, this is part of Paul's letter to the church in Rome and is directed towards those that know the Mosaic laws. He is going to further explain some points he previously made in chapter 6 about being under the law versus going with grace. Amen. So verse 2. And the word of God says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law for her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law for her husband.
Sorry, I don't know if you all can hear me. I'm going to read that again. My headphone went out. Verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And with that being said, Paul is using a known example with them, with the church in Rome. And this is something that the average person can understand. It's not hard to understand how marriage works and those obligations. This is the perfect example to use to get people to understand how things were and how it has changed since Christ came and died for our sins. So the goal here is to use something that they are familiar with to get a better understanding on the connection and release of the law through Christ. Now we move to verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In the dots, by flipping the example used and applying it to the current situation, those who have accepted Christ are no longer married to the law. We switch partners. Now that Christ has come and fulfilled the law and release our obligation, because we couldn't keep the law anyway. So it's extremely important on what Christ did when he died on the cross for us. And we're going to look at more details on not only that, but our connection with our flesh and what grace has to do with it. Verse 5 and 6. And then we'll open up the floor. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So when we are in the flesh, living in the flesh, those sinful desires of passion were on 10 or magnified and were awakened by the law, which pointed out and identified sin. This led to death because, as the word of God says, the wages of sin is death. But in verse 6, it explains how now things have changed because since Christ died for our sins, we have been released from the law, which is great for us because we couldn't keep the law anyway. We are free from the law and now have grace in the Holy Spirit to keep us. We are not in this fight alone against the flesh. We now have help. The Lord sent us a comforter to help us because the flesh is a mess, but God's grace is the best. I open the floor for any comments that the panel have, any questions at this time.
Quick comment. I like where you're going with this because, you know, there's a lot of people think one thing when they read this and they really don't have a full understanding of it. Because I know a lot of people used to think that if you get married and you get a divorce and you're committing adultery. You're committing adultery after divorce is over with, if I'm saying that correctly. I just heard this on the radio the other day where pastor said if you divorce and you remarry, you're committing adultery because you got a divorce.
I add to that also. God never meant for us to be divorced. He did it for the hardness of the hearts through Moses to give the degree of divorcement in a letter or in paper. So God always meant for us as husband and wife to be together forever. And when he put man and a woman together, he never put any divorce agreement in it. But because of the hardness of our hearts, or the hardness of their hearts at that time in history, God gave it to Moses to agree to let them have a divorce. Always meant for us to be together. That's why you have your vows through sickness, through health. You know, through I can't even repeat the rest of it, but you know what I'm saying. We have to go through.
Elder, you know. I just have a quick comment, real quick.
Yeah.
I just got a message. Now that's for the believers. That's not for the unbelievers. You know, people who just go to Vegas and just get married on a whim with not knowing Christ.
Yes, sir.
When you're in Christ, your vows are forever. But people who get married without knowing who Christ is, that law doesn't apply to them.
Is that correct?
Okay, I wanted to make sure.
But you have Christians that do the same thing.
Oh yeah.
You have Christians. Yeah. Everybody that's doing the same thing of every religion. Every personality, every race, doing the same thing of divorcing, when you should just sit it out and don't let the devil have his play, you know, in your life. But I also like where this is going too, Minister Tober, and what you're talking about as far as the law being our slave master, when actuality is not. And Paul's explaining this to the Romans that want to hold on to the law, are people that's teaching the wrong thing against Paul to the Romans.
That's right. And like you're saying, and, you know, he's bringing it to the attention and bringing it to the forefront. And it's a nice way that he's doing it, especially by using something relatable to all.
with marriage, to be able to perfectly explain it the way that it is. And, you know, the point also when we read over it, besides that, you know, is to understand that we belong to Christ. And by us being connected with Christ, we have that grace. Now, and it breaks down into more than just being under the law. So we have to understand that, you know, Paul went back over this because he also addressed it in the preceding chapter. He went over some of this in verse 6 as well. I mean, not verse 6, I'm sorry, chapter 6 as well. So now yep. we're going back over it, but he's going more in detail and using a different example that I feel is more relatable, and then breaks it down even further as we go deeper into the scripture and go and finish out this chapter. It's a lot. So the point is to serve God in newness of spirit, like the word says, because we can't try to stay under the law or go back to the law because we are free. So, for example, you don't know, well, I actually can't even say that. I was going to say you don't want to have that mindset to where you've been locked up and under something, you get free, and now you want to be locked back up. Doesn't make sense. We know people like that, but it doesn't make sense. So you want to use the freedom that, you know, God has in grace, and stay under grace,
yes,
and
sir.
Stay connected to God. So that's part of the point, is to stay under grace. God gave it to us. We need to use it. We need to stay connected to God the way that he intended for us to be connected with him after Jesus' sacrifice. So we have to stay along the path that God has prepared for us and not return to the law, because that was the whole purpose in him coming and dying in the first place.
Absolutely.
So let's pick up in verse 7. What shall we then say? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Verse 8, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. So the purpose of the law was to identify sin and to create boundaries that need to be in place so that we know what's what. For example, nowadays we have road signs with speed limits. So if we see that speed limit says 45, we know that there's a boundary for us to travel. If we go past that and get caught, that's a problem. It's a ticket. We go to jail. Depends, right? But if it wasn't for a speed limit sign, then people would just go as fast as they want, slow as they want, because there were no boundaries set in place. So that's why at the end of verse 8, it says, for without the law, sin was dead. This is because if there's no law, there's no boundaries or no sin being recognized as sin. Therefore, to bring it back full circle, it had to be a law. And not skip down, but he also clarifies on the law about how the law is holy. Not to skip down too much, but we also will find that out. So that's why he says, nay, you know, God forbid, you know, the law is not sin. The law pointed out sin, but the law is not sin. Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained of life I found to be unto death, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. The concept of verse 9 is talking about
before having the knowledge of the law, you're freely doing things sinful. But by knowing the law, now those same things have sentenced death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. Then in verse 10, he begins to express how the same commandment slash law that was intended to bring life brought death. This is a complex saying here. Paul is saying that knowing not to lust and thou shalt not covet by the law actually made him more aware of the sin, making people aware of the sin and sinful nature, but also sparked the desire to want to sin more. And this is supported by verse 11. So sin has also become like a weapon that separates us from God whenever we do so. So we have to understand how this all works in, together. Because like we said, the flesh is a mess, but God's grace is the best. So all of that being said, we have to set our focus on staying under grace. And that's the main focus, is staying under grace versus the law. Anybody got anything to add before we go further?
Yeah, just one comment. So,
yes, sir.
You may have some. Go ahead, Elton. Go ahead, Elton. So you may have somebody thinking now, well, why did God create the law then? Why he just didn't, you know, send Jesus Christ from the beginning? So God created the law through Moses when he promised Moses that if he would bring the people from Egypt to Mount Sinai, when he met God on the backside of the mountain and saw the burning bush, when you bring the people here, and he did, he gave Moses the law, Israel, to live a certain way. So he gave them all of these laws so that they could know how to live and what not to do in order to live.
Right?
So now that he sent Jesus, because no man could fulfill the law, as you stated earlier, no man could fulfill the law. So he sent Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So God created the law that sin would be noticed, that sin would be there, that sin would be known.
And then, right. When
he sent Jesus to fulfill the law that no man could feel, he sent Jesus to fulfill the law that if we have faith in Jesus because of the grace of God, as you mentioned, we could be saved from the law and from condemnation of the wrath to come when Jesus comes a second time, right? So, man, oh, my God. Yeah. So I think I did mention once in Sunday school about the stop sign, that if you run it, you know, you get a ticket because it's established law of the land. If you did this, that, or the other, you would have to pay for it because you didn't do it right or whatever. But, yeah, that's why the law is in place or was in place. And Jesus had to fulfill it for us because we couldn't. And right now we're on grace. People don't understand how much grace we're under right now. And all the things that we're still doing right now. And it's the grace of God that we are yet still living to get it right. And Paul was so upset with the people that was teaching this Roman church that you had to follow the law in order to be under Christ, or you had to follow the law to be right. He was so pissed off about it that he taught this in chapter 7 and verse 8. So that's why the law was given, to establish what sin was. or to establish what you shouldn't do. And we did it anyway, but now the graces abound that we can have faith in Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Go ahead, Minister.
Oh, I definitely appreciate that comment, being able to put everything back into perspective, because there's a lot to unpack here. And Paul is really, like you said, dealing with this because we want to make sure that we get it right. We want to make sure that this is understood. We want to make sure that we put emphasis on how we're under grace and no longer under the law. And like you said, he went and talked about it, you know, for a couple chapters just to bring it out and put it on the forefront. And I really like how he did it and how later on it gets, you know, a little bit more vulnerable down the line. And I like the way that Paul put this together. And we're just going to continue going on. And at any point, if y'all have anything, y'all just jump in. I'm going to go ahead and continue so that we can finish the rest of it. Wherefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be exceeding sinful. So verse 12 provides clarity that the law in itself wasn't the problem, but we are. The law is holy. The commandments are holy. And they are powered by God. So the law wasn't the problem. The sinful nature of man in the flesh is the problem. Verse 13, sin was pointed out and revealed by the law, and sin was producing death, not the law. So in other words, like we said, it's the flesh, and the flesh is the mess, but God's grace is the best. So a lot of this is going on in relation to the flesh continuing to show up in this scripture, and also just to be able to point out how Paul wants to show them that it's all about grace, you know, that Christ came to fulfill the law, but it's all about grace. And as we continue, we'll see with our topic verse on 14 and 15, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, so under sin, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Lots to unpack with that. The law is spiritual, and we know this because it comes from a spiritual God. But we are flesh and are slaves to the flesh. Our flesh can act up sometimes on us. And even Paul began to speak on some of his own experiences. He says for verse 15, for example, you know, the way verse 15 comes across, I don't understand it. I don't understand my actions. I'm baffled. I'm taken back by this one. You mean to tell me that I don't practice what I want to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate? This means yielding to the flesh, to its human nature. The flesh is a mess. So he ain't the only one either, because we all can say something at some point in time that we were in that same situation where the flesh is acting up. The flesh is a mess. We doing certain things that are, of course, contrary to God. So that's when the flesh began to act up. And we have to understand that this all is a setup on why we need grace in the first place, instead of trying to remain under the law. everything else that we're about to list and go through is going to be proof on why we need grace. Anybody got anything to say before we go forward? All right. If then I do not that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me. If I continually do the things that I would not do, then I agree with the law that it is good and has good moral value. Now it's no longer me, but the sinful nature which lives in me. This scripture to me shows a different side of what Paul is trying to bring out and the way that he opens up about sin and an angle that I believe also includes itself. This is more direct and personal, and sometimes that's exactly what we need, is for someone to be direct and personal with us. We are sinful in nature, and over those verses, it sounds like pouring, you know, his heart out over these verses, and it continues as well, but it's all set up for greater later on, because a certain level of vulnerability means that he is in need, right? And that need is fulfilled by a Savior, Jesus Christ, because the flesh is a mess, but God's grace is the best. So we can plug ourselves in and understand that we have been in those situations. We have been the ones where we've done certain things, and we know that it's contrary to God, but it's that flesh acting up. And it's that flesh that's deep within us. That's the part of the sin that's deep within us that we can apply to those verses. And also going forward, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwell in me. So let me read that last part, verse 20, one more time. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. These verses are as real as it gets when it comes down to the Christian walk. When it comes down to walking in Christ, what we deal with and how things go about our daily lives. And it points out more of the battle that we have going on. So he is saying that the will is there to do all the right things or all the good things, but the ability to stay on the straight narrow path is a different story. And we've been in those situations ourselves. So he also goes as far as saying, in him lies no good thing. Again, this is the flesh. And again, the flesh is a mess. The good things that I want to do, I do. I don't do. Evil, which I don't want to do, is what I end up doing. So it sounds a little sad, but it's accurate for a lot of us. The different things that we know not to do, we end up doing. But the things that we want to do, we don't end up doing. The things that are of the Lord sometimes that we want to do, we don't end up doing them sometimes. That's where I take the angle of the vulnerability in those scriptures. When we place ourselves in those situations of being vulnerable, where we know that we are full of sin, where we are in need of a Savior. That's the vulnerable portion. When we are in need, when we see that this flesh can act up, but we need something to fight against the flesh. We need something that is going to to battle with the flesh. And we have now, of course, after Christ dying, the Holy Spirit, and we have grace. So that's what's going to help us get through, because at the end of the day, it all points back to the flesh, and that we need a better outlet. We need someone or something to help us out, and we got that
yes, sir.
With the Lord. Any questions and comments at that point?
I have a comment. Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Hello? Okay. Yeah. Sometimes we can be in sin for so long, think it's right. And that's where you have to have God, the Spirit of God, to convict. Because a lot of times you don't know, because you've done it and your mom done it, your family done it, or whoever done it. But once you come in Christ, you're a new creature. And a lot of times we can pick up bad habits and don't even know that they're bad habits. And once you become in Christ, you should become a new creature. But like you said, you want to do good, but evil is always to get ready. You have to, and you have to want to change. You have to want to accept correction, or we have to hold each other accountable. You know, if we do something wrong, my husband been on my head so tight these last couple of weeks. Oh my goodness, it hurts, but I know he's doing it to make me a better person, and he don't want, you know, the kids. I mean, it just. I was raised a certain way. It don't mean that it's the way I'm doing it is right, the way I'm raising. I mean, you know, the way I talk to the kids, or, you know, talk to him or whatever. It's not, I'm wrong. It's no right about it. I just have to learn how to talk to him and my kids, or people, period. I just have to learn. And he's been holding me accountable every time, you know, I say something or do something. And we need more people in our lives like that. To hold us accountable. Check them as soon as they make the mistake. Because our souls are at stake. People's souls are at stake. And so many times we can cut people short. We can say, it's wrong. It's no right about it. Talking about nothing deep. Sin is sin. Whether it's talking, you know, being smart, being sharp, being, you know, nasty, whatever. Eating too much, cussing, drinking, whatever. Sin is sin. And he's checking us through the word right now. We need to get it together, including myself.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
And just to add, the sin that is in our inner beings, the sin that's in our heart, whether you're a Christian or not, you should have to contain it. And the way that we uncontain it is by our emotions. And a lot of us let our emotions rule at the moment. So when we think to say something, we don't think about what we're going to say. And that could ruin a conversation with anybody you're talking to, that, as Paul said, that which I would do, I do not, but it's in me. And we have to control that. And as my wife said, become a new creature and meditate on the word of God, read the word of God, so that we're able and ready at the moment of an emotion, not just blurt out something that's not right. So Paul is showing us that conflict in ourselves has nothing to do with conflict we have with others. It starts within ourselves. We can wash the plate on the outside, but what are we doing to the inside, right? Remember when the Pharisees asked Jesus why did his disciples eat with unwashing hands? And Jesus says, it ain't even about that. It's what's in you that can condemn you. So that's what Paul is talking about now. That which I would do, I do not. Right? And what he should do is what he's trying to say, what I should do is give God praise and treat people right. But I do it not because of that which is in me. So we have to contain ourselves. We have to think about what we're going to say, think about what we're going to do before we do it. There's nothing wrong with delaying your actions. And I'm going to say that again. Nothing wrong with delaying your actions or your response. Nothing wrong with it at all. Because your response could condemn you. Even though you're doing right with everything after that, every word spoken and everything done in our bodies, we got an answer to before the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, Elder. That's so on point. We got to answer for everything that we do, and we got to be held accountable. And like you said, it's deep within us, the different things that we end up doing, like this, like the word says. So that's why we have to daily, we have to stay prayed up. We have to be connected to God and stay connected to God. We just got to continue to work because we know that we're fighting against this flesh that's within us. So we got to stay connected in order to be able to fight. Thank y'all for the comments. Verse 21, I found then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I think, Elder Blue, I think either you and your wife had just brought that up about with evil being present even when the good is around. Before I go forward, I just want to bring that up. Verse 21, I found then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. Powerful statement. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. So Paul is now feeling like whenever he does good, that evil is present within himself, right? Now he transitions to saying that it is joyful to delight in the law of God, which keeps him with God, right? But also what is there is the law of my members, meaning your body, that brings the sin. In other words, this flesh is a mess, and it brings all of this sin with it. So now there's a battle going on within myself. There's that battle of the flesh versus the spirit, those things that you want to do and those things that you end up doing. So that's where it all connects again, because you got the inward parts where he says, for I delight in the law of God after in the inward man. So that's who you really want to be. But also that body that's on top, that flesh that's on top, wants to do something else. And that flesh is fighting against the spirit. There's a war going on, the flesh versus the spirit, right then and there. But guess what? We have to understand that there is some help. We do have the help, and we do have to walk in the spirit. We do have to connect to God. Just like he said in another scripture in Galatians 5 and 16 through 7, he said, this I then say, walk in spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So this battle is on purpose. We have this within ourselves so that we can't do the different things that we want to do. So there's always this battle going on, but we have to feed our spirit. We have to continue to connect with God, continue to show ourselves to God, continue to be vulnerable. in verse 12, look at this connection. Look at, in verse 12 in Romans 6, look at this. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, in your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Powerful statement to connect to what I just read as well, is that it is on purpose, and we can't yield to this flesh. We can't yield to these members like we need to all the time, okay? We got to submit ourselves to God and allow him to do a great work, allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. I'm sorry, I believe, Evangelist, you were going to say something? Oh, no problem. So we have to deny this flesh daily. It's a daily battle. And we have to do our part by denying this flesh. Anyone saying anything before we go to 24 and 25 and close this thing out? Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall then deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So Paul starts this verse by admitting that he's flawed, and we're flawed, for example, in the desperate need of a Savior to help turn things around for our good. He also knows that Jesus is the only one that can provide salvation and equip him with the right tools to fight against the flesh. When Jesus died, his blood freed us from the law because he fulfilled the law. He also freed us from the power of sin. His blood covers sins past, present, and future. If we fall, we just need to repent quickly and get back up. Jesus also left us the most important weapon to fight against the flesh, which is the Holy Spirit. So we definitely are going to need his help, because the flesh is a mess, but God's grace is the best. And that's it for me. I'll turn this back over to Elder Oliver, and I hope you all enjoyed what was taught on tonight.
Amen. Amen. Minister Tober, you did that thing all the way down from the verse 1 to verse 25. There was a lot, and a lot was brought out in the teaching tonight. So I just commend you for your studying and your obedience to the Lord to give us what he gave you. So I just want to thank you for that. That was an awesome teaching on tonight. And I'm going to say you really taught that. You really inspired me to even go back to look at this over again, because there's a lot in there. So I just want to thank you for that. Anyone else on the panel want to say anything before we go to the next closeout?
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment. First, you have to humble yourself and take yourself off your pedestal. He said, the wretched man that he is. We all wretched. We all as filthy rags. We're nothing but the dust of the earth. We all dirty. And we have to, we can't deliver ourselves. Only God can. God, we can't save ourselves. If we could, we wouldn't need him. I mean, I offer anybody to Christ tonight. Give it to him. Because my husband been on me this last couple of weeks, and when I tell you, we have to work on ourselves, and now don't worry about other people. But we have to hold each other accountable for what we do, not just to ourselves, but to others. We have to hold each other accountable, and we have to. We can't save ourselves. Good job on tonight, Minister Thomas.
Thank you, Ricky. Thank you, wife. So just to give another summation to your already summation that you have, Minister Tobin. So in verse or chapter 8, because chapter 6, 7, and 8 deals on this. So chapter 8, in verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So what that's saying is that God, even though Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, we have the law in us to do right all about what it says. If you have faith in Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior, we can fulfill the law ourselves now through Jesus Christ.
That's
all I got. Great job tonight, man. Great job.
Thank you, Elder. God be the glory.
Yeah, it was an excellent teaching, and the inputs as well was very well, on my part, very well received and taken. I think Evangelist Melissa, we all dirt. You know, we have to clean ourselves up, and we have to submit. We have to have that accountability. We have to have that, you know, when the Lord is talking to us, we got to recognize his voice and start to do better. It was a great lesson, Minister. I really appreciate it. I know everyone that listened in appreciate it as well. That's just a good, tonight was just a good teaching. That's what you call a good old-fashioned teaching on the word on tonight. And again, I just want to say thank you, brother, for being obedient and allowing the Lord to use you. Into Evangelist Bluett and Elder Bluett, thank y'all for your comments and your input. They go a long way as well with what the teacher is teaching. So I just want to say thank y'all for your input. And again, thank the minister. Again, let's keep Elder Taylor in prayer. Let's also keep Deacon Berger in prayer as well. They have some health challenges. We just want to keep them in prayer, but we do know by his stripes they will be healed and they will recover. So we just want to keep them in prayer. I don't have anything from our email, but we'll check back on that next week. And, again, it was a great Bible study, a great word. And before I move forward, I just want to be the very first. Minister Tober's birthday is the 9th of February. I just want to say happy birthday to you. You did an excellent teaching. Happy birthday. I also want to say a birthday shout out to my wife. Her birthday is Thursday. So happy birthday to my wife. And with that being said, we just want everyone to be safe. People at Praise Tabernacle, let's just keep one another in prayer. Keep our bishop and his family in prayer. Again, let's keep all of our elders and deacons in prayer and all the members in prayer. Let's just pray for one another. And also, we just want to give Lord thanks for allowing us to have this platform to be able to do Bible study and Bible study and to be able to do what God is calling us to do. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Our weekly schedule is Sunday morning, we have Praise Tabernacle Church at 9 a.m. right here on Blog Talk, or you can catch it on Facebook Live under Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. You can watch it on Facebook Live, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with another Praise Tabernacle Bible study. If there's nothing else any further, let's just keep everyone lifted up in prayer and let us try to do better. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you right now. Father God, we want to thank you for the word. Father God, we want to thank you for the messenger, Father God. Father God, we ask you to restore him right now, Father God. Bless him and his family right now, Father God. Father God, we ask you to strengthen them right now. Father God, for everyone that was listening to the Bible study tonight, Father God, touch each and every one of us right now, Father God, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, Father God. Father God, let us be not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, Father God, that we all can do better, Father God, as we all can be obedient to your word, Father God. And Father God, if there's anyone out there that may not know you, Father God, we ask that you just can, that you just find your way into their hearts right now, Father God. He says that all they have to do is believe on you, Father God, and they shall be saved. Father God, we ask that you just to touch each and everybody, Father God. And Father God, we ask you, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And now we're going to read a great commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And we are dismissed in Jesus' name. We'll see you back here next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Amen.